Okay, it's 4 o'clock. It's time to call to order the Town Discovery Bay special meeting of the Park and Recs Committee. Can I have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken. Let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. This is the moment or opportunity for public comments. If there's any members of the public on the line that wishes to address the board about anything not on the agenda, this is your opportunity. Is there any public comments? Hearing none, I will close public comments and we'll move forward to item C1.
Go ahead, Justin.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Justin Shobe. What we have here is a staff report summarizing an item for installing two monitoring wells. And as described in the staff report, the wells are related to the work being conducted under the Groundwater Sustainability Agency with the East Contra-Costa Sub-Basin Working Group. And what was identified through the work in that group is there's some additional data that's needed to identify the interaction between the surface water and groundwater to fulfill those requirements of a groundwater sustainability plan. And they targeted some locations in the basin, and the one that was on the highest priority was in Discovery Bay near the Indian Slough. So the GSP working group worked with staff to identify locations within the district's jurisdiction that could host these monitoring wells, and a very ideal location appears to be Cornell Park. So what's included in this package is some figures that show just kind of big picture showing the groundwater basin and the target areas that they need some additional data on. That's the data gap figure. And then there's a site map figure that shows the location where the monitoring wells would be proposed in Cornell Park. And the staff on LSDE side that's involved with the GSP working group met with some of the district staff out at Cornell Park to kind of describe how the construction would go and figure out exactly on this park where it would make the most sense to place these. And that's what's being shown on the site map here is the proposed location. And what we're talking about with monitoring wells is really shallow depth. They are each going to be a 2-inch pipe, a PVC pipe. They call them piezometers, and they'll drill a hole for one of them that's 15 feet deep, and the other one's going to be 32 feet. And they would, be filled with gravel so that it can monitor the water, the shallow water. At the surface, it can be completed as a pipe that comes above ground, which sometimes is nice for the access for the person collecting the data. But they can also be completed as just a flush mount, so just a box in the ground with a steel lid on it, no bigger than what you see like for a gate valve, for a valve in the street, where you have a little, maybe a 6-inch diameter lid. And there would be two of them because of the way they're being constructed. They can't be in the same pole, so there would be they'd be about 5 to 10 feet apart. And all of it is funded. All of the installation is funded, but separately by the Prop 68 grant that was awarded to the GSAs. For East Contra Costa County. They've already secured a contract with the driller who's been working on the other installations in the other areas that were shown on the map, and they're hoping to get started on the one installation in Discovery Bay. But we're bringing it before the committees to bring everybody up to speed with what this is, you know, what it's about. It's not a very major installation, but we need to, you know, let everybody know what this is and get any comments at this time. We'd like to bring it to the board on Wednesday with the recommendation to allow this to happen.
How long does it, Justin, how long do they think it's going to take to do the installation?
It's just going to be one day.
Oh, that's not bad. And the other locations, the Antioch and Bethel Island, have already done the install?
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. I'm not, like, managing that project, but from... I should have called them right before this, but it looks like on the emails they sent me that they have completed those installations.
Justin, Brian Gattel, out of curiosity, I'm just kind of trying to get my head around, what's the value of this information?
Oh, I think it's very valuable from the perspective of identifying that groundwater pumping is not influencing the groundwater-dependent ecosystem, because those are a function of really the levels in the delta and not at all related to any of the pumping that we do, that the district does for its supply, because they're separate aquifers. And we could state that and show that, you know, it's common sense, right, because of how deep it is and the thickness of the separation between the zones. But this is the data that supports that. So from the perspective of having a very solid groundwater sustainability plan supported by data, it's valuable.
Okay.
How long are they going to be monitoring them for?
Years. They're there's something else.
No, that one, sorry.
Okay. They still have to develop what the long-term monitoring plan is. I've been told they're going to monitor it biannually for 2 years, along with the CASGEM monitoring. CASGEM is another program in the state where we monitor all of the production wells and monitoring wells in Discovery Bay twice a year, in the fall and in the spring. That's kind of the benchmark for groundwater monitoring. And that data has been going on for a decade. So these would just be kind of rolled into that, is the thought, but they don't want to continue monitoring them, you know, indefinitely if it's not necessary. But with the difference with these particular wells as also is they're going to be looking at water quality. So they're going to be looking at salinity and comparing that to groundwater salinity and other factors, just to, again, form the basis that it's not a surface water related, the deeper aquifers on the surface water related zone. So, but what I've been told is it's a 2 year, they're really sure that they're going to need 2 years of data, but they don't know beyond that right now.
I just have one more follow-up question. So who's going to be installing this? Is that our staff or third party?
Well, the work is conducted through the GSA. So the funding is, the grant funding goes to the Groundwater Sustainability Agency. And I don't attend those meetings on behalf of the district, but I know it's a separate funding that's handled just by the GSA working group. And so they're the ones commissioning the work, you know, that Discovery Bay is a part of. You know, it's an eight-member agency program.
That's Discovery Bay part of.
And the contractor is PennCor. The contractor doing the work is called PennCor.
So what you have is you have seven, you have eight GSAs, and seven of the GSAs actually pay into the plan, The 8th GSA is the county, and the county does what's called in like-kind contributions. They do a lot of the mapping and things like that on behalf of the group. We operate under a memorandum of understanding, but it's working like a joint powers agreement. And so we as a group under, we're individual GSAs, but we formed this alliance. And we have applied for grant money, and we all chip in to a fund in addition to this grant money. So those monies are being what's used to pay for this monitoring well, including the testing and the the analysis and all of that. It's likely going to go more than 2 years. The question will be when the funding, so we're developing a groundwater sustainability plan. This is going to supply data for the plan, and part of the plan is to monitor this data once the plan exists. And then from that point on, we will have to look at another plan. We have to do updates, and then we have another update, a large update done 5 years from now. So we're going to develop the plan 5 years from now. We got to re-renovate it. At that time, hopefully more grants and stuff will be issued, and our group will continue to pay out of grant money and contributions for the continued monitoring of the wells. But if they don't, and we're the ones stuck with the well 4 or 5 years, and they still want it monitored, maybe that's when we don't monitor the wells anymore.
So there's no, at this point, there's no fiscal liability for us as a town to put these in, other than allowing them to do it.
There's no liability, but it's like anything else that sits on a property. We're insured. We have something we call SDRMA amount, but it shouldn't be an issue. It becomes basically a town facility.
Okay. It doesn't look like it's going to cause a huge, I mean, it's 2 inches, right?
And it's in a location that nobody uses.
As they're walking in, correct?
Yeah, that's always my next question for Bill. Are there any issues for the community?
It looks like there's a house right next door to it. Do we need to let that person know that there, or is it going to be minor enough that it's not going to disturb them?
We would like to have notifications sent out to some of the neighbors in the area, flyers or whatever, the water crew can go by and do that when we have the actual date, and notify neighbors of what's going on.
Okay.
It's not going to be that noisy.
No, not at all. I'm going to take this question down and provide a better response to that. But what I need to do is talk to the well person in the group that runs those projects. He'll tell you exactly what kind of equipment it is. But to drill a 15 or a 30 foot deep hole isn't like a drill rig. It's just going to be an auger on the back of a truck. They're gonna put it in pretty darn quickly. Notification is still a good idea, and all that, but it's gonna be within a working hour frame. Not something that's gonna go beyond normal work hours.
Perfect.
So what staff is asking from the committee is to when it becomes before the board this Wednesday is to recommend approval. This will also be going to the Water and Wastewater Committee earlier that evening as well.
Okay.
Very good. Unless we have more questions, we can move on.
Thanks,
Justin.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you.
Definitely. So we took note of all the questions, and I'll just be prepared to answer those again at the next meeting.
Well, there might be some additional new questions from the other board members.
I will see you there.
I'm going to have someone else on with me on the line who's really more familiar with it too. So we'll be ready for that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Bye. Let me go ahead and open up to public comments. Is there any public comments? Hearing none, I will close public comments, and we move forward to C2, Community Center and Landscaping.
Good afternoon. So I'm going to give you an update on the pool. I've already reported, but just to kind of do a recap, that tile coating is complete. The concrete pad is set and complete. The tough shed is the next bit of business. It was supposed to be delivered last week, and it was not. So Mike Urraca and I have been calling and emailing a representative at Tough Shed. I called and emailed again this morning, this afternoon, and have not heard back yet. So he and I are absolutely on top of that. So hopefully this week, but like I said, I was supposed to be here last week. Then in the next few weeks, the first three-ish weeks of this month, Adam's school will come back in, and they will set up for the concrete that needs to be poured back around the pool decking that they had to remove for the actual piping. So that forming and setup will be done. Then inspections have to be called in, so we have to wait for that. And then in the meantime, in between all that with inspections, they'll be installing the anchor bolts for handrails, backstroke flags, that kind of stuff. So far, based on our crystal ball tentative timeline we put together, things are so far still where we had anticipated.
Which is end of September.
Is there still more work that needs to be done to the pool for the water or?
Well, plaster.
Plaster?
Yeah, but you can't put in, and now it's a matter of certain inspections have to be done before you can, you know, do the next step. But we can't do that until the decking gets done and the pool equipment is in, which happens after the tough shed. So right now, the big thing is getting in touch with tough shed. But like I said, I emailed and called twice today. I haven't heard back since this meeting.
Was this supposed to be delivered like end of week or beginning of week? Last week?
Middle to end of last week was what we were, you know, kind of anticipating, but it did not come in. And Mike Urraca had been following up last week, and then I started to kind of tag team to find out what's going on.
And does, I know we've talked about the insulation of, and this may be a Bill question, but the, turf.
Yeah, Bill's gonna come up.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, we had the,
that's online. Probably so that.
That's kind of it. So, any more pool question? Pool.
Is there a backup plan if the tough shed like disintegrates or we never hear back from them?
Oh, we will. No, I mean, there's not a backup plan per se, but we would definitely do something. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you for the update.
Yeah.
Okay. Synthetic turf. So in March of this year, we obtained an estimate for converting all the pool decking area to synthetic turf. That estimate came in at around $55,000. Later on, we brought to the Park and Rec Committee meeting and presented some alternative ideas, all concrete, track stacking, a combination of all three. We decided to go with the synthetic turf. So we went out to bid with a $70,000 estimate, $81,000 with contingency, taking into consideration inflated construction costs. We had the bid opening on the 28th. We had two bids.
Of June?
Of July.
July, okay.
Two bids. Consolidated Engineering came in at $113,000 and change. G&G Builders came in at $166,000 and change. Obviously, that was a shock. Construction costs are rising quicker than anticipated. So we, you know, in conclusion, we should consider two options. Given that we may not have the pool open other than possibly adult lap swimming, rushing the project may not be fiscally responsible. So in this scenario, we would open the lap swim up, rope off the turf areas, and lay gray landscape fabric for weed control.
I'm sorry, lay what?
Gray landscape fabric for weed control. And then although this is a gamble, construction pricing may come down, and then we can readdress this over the winter months. Whether we want to
rebid
the synthetic or not. So this afternoon we're looking for guidance and direction on moving forward with synthetic or holding back or delaying the project.
And this decision would also come before the board.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I...
Well, so... Yeah, go.
I'll just say, this doesn't surprise me. I think that we might be a little naive to think the prices are going to come down in the wintertime. Just given the totality of what's happening on the planet right now. So,
is it? Have we looked into the cost of the other options as well? Because I'm assuming if turf has gone way up, concrete has gone way up.
So we did, based on what the concrete cost for just the pad, that's coming in at about $35 a square foot, where previously we were quoting it at $20 to $22 a square foot. So,
how old were the costs from the 50, like the quotes that we got for the 55K to 113, like what's the time gap between those?
March to July.
So it was about three months.
Same companies?
No, the first company that gave us the estimate did not bid on this project due to some internal company issues.
Interesting. Out of curiosity, when people bid on these, since I've never seen one, do they break down materials and labor separately, or they just give you a number?
A lump sum.
It'd be nice to see if they're both quoting the materials.
That could be a next step.
Is that something we could ask them for, or I don't know?
Yeah, can we request that?
That would be a legal question.
I don't know if there's any value in that, but it'd just be interesting to see if at least.
Well, you look to the request for proposal, and so whatever's contained in the request for proposal is what they have to respond to in the manner outlined. You know, it becomes like you got to follow this exactly. So if it doesn't call for the breakdown in the RFP, I doubt that they have to provide it. They might do it as just a courtesy.
Yeah.
I'm just talking out loud now. I know I'll try to turn to you as far as your judgment. Is there value in that information? Do you think? Not to put you on the spot, but.
I mean, there may be, but I don't. I mean, we can get this done for 113 versus 168. So there's no real question where we would go. We would still have to RFP, even if we were just going for the materials or just the labor.
Right.
So I think it's kind of the...
And I'm curious if we reached out to the company that we originally got the quote. I know they didn't bid on it, but I'm wondering if their costs have gone up as much as well.
I can make a cursory call. There were two... companies that didn't bid where we hoped they would bid, which was one that gave us the estimate. And the other one was the company that did the Ravenswood installation.
Which strategically, this may be because they're just so busy, they don't want to take on this big a project and then try to compete under an RFP, where they can go to homeowners or commercial and just, they'll call them up, give them a bid, they get the job and they do it. So that's why we were thinking for consideration. Those factors may change, you know, after the first of the year when we start looking at really getting it ready for the real swim season.
That brings up a good question. The RFP, did we have timing on that? Like, we need to have it done by this time, and maybe that's why those costs are a little bit higher.
Yeah, there's an 80 calendar day.
Yeah.
Notation.
I would be curious to see if that would change if we extended that time frame from 80 day to say 120 or whatever, so it's done closer to when the pool is going to open for the next season, if that would give it a little bit less
potentially
urgency.
Each of the companies we talked to were about 50 to 60 days out, so
potentially.
So you're not seeing the time frame necessarily in there as a
it
side.
May have come into play, but maybe.
But not $50,000 worth.
Well, I'm just wondering.
I think the demand is.
Yeah,
is
I'm just wondering good. From the material perspective of it as well, because we all know right now material is hard to get, and so maybe there's some rush charges and stuff that are implied in with that cost could potentially, you know, I'm just saying, if we give some more time frame, they're not sending it overnight or air, they're sending it truck, and the cost of that's quite a bit different.
Just to discussing it a little bit with each of them, material is the issue. It's material and demand.
And for all we know, labor may be playing a part in it too.
Oh, 100%.
So they have all this high demand. They have very few labor force. We've now created a time period to get it done. And all those things are like the perfect storm. And maybe that will change in another 6 months.
Yeah. I just know.
Big risk.
Those questions.
I mean, we could pause it 6 months and the numbers double and the time frame doubles. So
here's I don't know if we can do this or not. I know we did the bid, we had the time frame on it. Can we say we're not choosing anyone this bid? We've changed the parameters of the bid, go out to rebid to kind of encompass some of these questions that we've had again, where we give it a longer time frame. We ask for a breakdown in the RFP of labor versus material and see if that maybe brings in a couple more people to bid. I don't know what the legalities of that are, so I may be crossing the line on that, but I'm just curious if that's something we could do.
We would check with legal, but it's my understanding is that we can reject bids altogether based on... I think the pricing is outside of our scope.
And, I would think so.
And then I think bring it back for a different bidding process. But we would still check with legal.
And I'm sorry, just to clarify, you said... What was the number that we had originally built?
55,000.
But it was like, I heard 81 though. We had some contingencies.
Well, that's what we put in the bid. We put $70,000 as an estimate in the bid because of rising construction costs. And I believe Julie had 81.
But it's budget, yeah.
Julie had 81 budget.
So we're still like 30 grand over 30. Our contingencies, which is a lot, or more than double what the first quote was.
Okay. At this point.
So you need a recommendation from us, correct?
You've been so informed.
Good luck, may the force be with you.
We're going to bring it back we're actually going to bring it to the Finance Committee as well for consideration, and then bring it to the board for some direction on this. And in the meantime, I think we'll touch base, please, with legal on some of the questions that you raised so we can be better prepared on those answers.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we can go out and rebid it with longer time frames, just to see what that brings. Yeah. Thank you.
Do you have any more landscaping updates?
Yeah, I do.
Can you continue on? Okay, let's open to public comments regarding this issue. Hearing none, move forward.
Okay. So, as you know, our landscape crew has been down an employee the entire year. Went through a hiring process, hired a new member, ultimately not a good fit. So we're back down to minus one. So in an effort to get as much out of our limited resources as possible, I met with the California Conservation Corps. It's a state program where the Corps hires 18 to 25-year-old young individuals who engage in community beautification, natural resource projects. They're exempt from prevailing wage requirements. So we met with them in regards to a different project, but I also inquired about landscape maintenance services, mowing, detailing, tree and shrub care, and fertilizing in our parks. We came back with an annual proposal of $49,850. So they've maintained Community Center, Cornell, Slifer, Legata. There is also flexibility during the winter months where if they're not needed to mow, they could also help with streetscape or other installation projects. Due to the fact that one employee of mine would be able to do the parks in a 32 to 40 hour work week at an annual cost of $65,000, that's mowing and detailing our parks, but not doing any tree and shrub or weed control. So we'd like to move forward with hiring the Corps for the maintenance aspects of our parks in lieu of hiring another crew member. So I have a contract. We'd like to bring that to the August 18th Board of Directors meeting.
So what does the management of that look like? Are you managing, is it like one person or is it multiple people? What does the structure of that look like?
So the landscape maintenance crew, which would be the mowing and detailing crew, is a crew lead and three core members. And I would be overseeing, you know, if they had an issue, they could contact me. The other... the installation or enhancement type crew, same thing. There's a crew lead and three or four crew members, of which I can lead, or we can also hire a project manager in the Corps, which I don't think we need to do.
And would they be here every day, or would it be a couple times a week? What would that look like?
They're really, really flexible. So if, for instance, if I need a five-day project, you know, I can schedule that out in 2 or 3 weeks. I can do a five-day project. In 2 weeks, if I needed them for 2 days, I could have them for 2 days.
And on the regular like park stuff like that, is that every day again, or is that?
That's weekly maintenance of our parks. Again, in winter months, if I don't need them, we don't pay that part of the contract, but we can use those monies to hire the enhancement or installation crew.
So how many hours does the $49,000 get you?
That gets us weekly service Monday through Thursday of all of our parks, including mowing, detailing, tree and shrub work, and weed control.
With like three people?
One weed and three people.
Sounds like quite a bit.
I think that was a very awesome, creative way of going about to handle that. I mean, right? Like your struggle is you don't have enough people. Now you have, instead of one person, you have four people.
Right. Right.
And I think that will address, I think excellent thinking outside of the box on that.
Do they use their own equipment or our equipment?
They have all the equipment they need. They have their mowers, the dump trailers. If we need a certain piece of equipment for a project, they also have those at a discounted rate for us. So
do they bill us for the fuel or?
No, it's all one.
It's all included?
Is it like a training program? Is that basically what
you
it is?
Say it's a training program.
And so then do you also give them direction on kind of what your expectations of how you want it trimmed and
right.
what
so this
it
morning
looks like,
I was
so they're not, I mean.
So they're working on, I'll call it a pilot project. They're working on a Bixler north of the lake's entrance. You know, and I went up there this morning and I suggested how I wanted them to trim certain shrubs and how this and that. Very receptive, easy to work with.
So what would then the rest of your team be doing?
We would do things, mostly streetscape, weeds, installation projects, boulevard, for instance, mulching.
I mean, take it to the next step. We could almost say, why don't we just hire these guys for all of it and get rid of our entire staff. I'm just talking out loud.
For the numbers, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the numbers become pretty obvious.
There is a certain amount of control that we exercise over our own people.
Yeah.
And still we don't exercise
that we would
over
lose.
Our contractor. And I know we will be confronting some issues that they will be confronting, but, so we're prepared to take this, baby steps.
Well, and I would assume, too, that your staff is, they're learning and growing in what they're doing, which
right.
also provides a value because.
Sure.
At some point, you probably can do some of that without having to be so on top of what they're doing.
Right.
And they're doing a quality job with it.
Yeah, so, in theory, it's a win-win situation, not only for the town, but for the core members, right? They're getting some experience.
So if approved, how long would it take for them to start? Like, I know they're doing a pet project right now, but.
For the landscape maintenance, what I mean, the detailing and mowing of the parks, they can start August 19th, as soon as it's...
Right, this is going to go before, it's going to be a $49,000 contract without going out to bid. So pursuant to our purchasing policy, it has to be approved by the board. So this is going before Park and Rec, going before Finance, and then it will go before the board and to actually approve my signature on a contract with them.
Got it.
I think it's a great idea.
I do as well. And so essentially, actually, it's not going to cost us any more money because it's already budgeted funds that are coming right out of...
It's actually saving us almost $15,000 a year.
Right, and then there's...
Because there's no benefits or anything like that attached to it as well.
Right, and if you look at it as a four-day a week, so you take the fact that our people work 5 days a week, but they also get vacation, sick leave,
benefits.
All the other attenuating work with comp issues if those arise. So the savings are, potentially even more than that. But... This is not just an open ticket because we actually have to be able to, we have zones, some of which we own, but we have zones with different funding mechanisms and they'll be working in different zones. So there is an accounting strategy that needs to take place with this that has to be monitored and watched very carefully.
Yeah.
Just right.
I know Dr. Porter already asked this question, but if I could ask it a different way.
Yeah.
So compare it to what we did with the Terracon. I mean, it's a very similar type of, do you see a very similar
pricing structure?
No, not pricing. Strictly from the standpoint of how you interacted with them and how you managed them. Would it be very simple?
180. No, it's a 180.
It's 180.
With TerraCare, it's...
TerraCare, excuse me.
Yes, okay. I have one contact with a branch manager or a project manager. And then he tells his crew, and he may never even be on site. In this scenario, I can go out with the crew members, the crew lead, and say, hey, let's not worry about this section anymore. Move on to the next section. There's a lot of flexibility in terms of being nimble, I guess.
Well, and I'd imagine there's going to be some learning curve for them, so you'd probably be very much a site manager for them, you know, explain what to do the first several months.
Yep.
Great idea.
I think it's a great idea. Good job.
Bill, before you go away, do we have any public comments? Yeah, close public comments. Can we go back to those C2?
Yeah.
We started talking about, was the landscaping strictly for the community center we were talking about, or were you going to talk about other landscaping projects within?
The update?
Yeah.
No, that was just the synthetic turf update.
Okay.
Yeah. Do we, I can give you
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
That's my question.
I think you had mentioned at the last meeting that you were going to meet with a grant people on for Clipper. Can you refresh when that was and what that was? I don't know if it was coming up or...
I think it was July 13th.
How did that go?
Yeah, so she had come out and Monica and I met with her. Monica did a fantastic job of her recreation spin, so it was a good meeting. Yeah.
Good. And they're making a decision that, like, September timeframe?
She said late August or September.
September.
Are we still sending our crews out to Clipper to...
We're going out probably in the next week or two to do a lot of tree trimming and weed control.
I know, it's a tough spot waiting to see what happens.
Right.
I was going to ask you, though, on the island projects. So as an example, I know the next ones are coming up and you wanted to wait till wintertime as far as planting is concerned.
September.
Does it make sense to turn the water off to islands now?
So I'll... good question.
When it's not alive.
That's a couple week period there. Water will be off.
So, question on that. Is there any way that we can inform the community of what we're doing so they're not coming up and griping about it being dead, that we're actually updating it and there's a reason why we're doing that?
Maybe put some signs in the ground?
Yeah, maybe sign. Yeah, that's a good... You know what I mean? Like, hey, beautification's happening, and we're doing it for a couple of reasons, water conservation and beautification.
Yeah, we got this incredible new little border that we use now, so
yeah.
We can...
Yes.
Sorry.
We'll post something when the project begins. We'll post something on our website, post something on our Facebook, and if we can get a sign out there... landscaping project from whatever period might be good. It might also wouldn't hurt to create a little flyer for the residents that are kind of, you know, within rock throwing distance. And stick that on their door.
Can we do something on the big... I know we have other stuff flashing on that big sign, but maybe it's a nice fun campaign way to be like Discover Bay beautification in process.
Well, that's not...
I'm just saying, if we're doing cool things and doing stuff that the community's asking, we have a cool sign that like flashes all day.
We're taking it one bite out of the apple at a time. We don't want to tell them we're building them an apple pie yet. But
we're jumping with baby.
Island beautification. Island beautification.
Yep.
I mean,
Discovery Bay
or
Point.
What
is it?
Discovery Bay Boulevard Islands.
Beautification.
Water conservation and beautification.
Waterification, water beautification.
Well, I like the idea of turning the water off anyways, because for whatever reason, every time the water runs, it runs down the street. So it's...
But you know that if you turn it off, and you're going to get complaints about it being dead. So we might as well give them a heads up, like, hey, we're doing something awesome.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. Any public comments? All right. Hearing none. Public comments closed. 4:40. Unless there's anything else.
Nope.
Good. You need a turn. Thank you.
Thank you.